Afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, July 18, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond, the official narrative. I have with me, as always, my regular Tuesday co-host. So politically incorrect, he has his own zip code. He's a walking, talking hate crime, the West Coast white nightmare himself, Paul in California.
Well, good day, Richard. Thanks once again for having me. Hope you and everyone can bear with me today because it's a little difficult time for me. I'm transitioning. I'm going through a transition right now. So
I'm very empathetic to your identity, whatever that may be. What do you identify as, Paul? I mean, well, what sort of transition?
Well, you know, as you know, we're all on a spectrum, and I started out as just a regular old constitutional, right-wing, conservative, libertarian, American patriot guy.
Whoa, that sounds scary to begin with, but okay.
Right, and then I managed to, cross over to, fascist, neo-Nazi, extreme right-wing, that sort of a thing. But I find myself being pulled inevitably into the vortex of megalomaniacal, genocidal, gas chamber Nazi. And it's a difficult transition to make, but as you know, Europe will not survive without it.
Yes, no, so you want to actually embrace... the gas chamber myth, which was never actually employed for mass extermination, with no mass extermination program ever being found to have existed the Third Reich.
I think that was the problem that we face today. They could have made a major dent, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen because, like all good, decent people everywhere, they never really considered it or thought about it. It was just one of these ridiculous Jewish myths that has been shoved down our throat. And, let's face it, there's a lot of mainstream Jewish people out there that believe it because they don't know any better. Go ahead.
I think there was a lot of, morality, though, frankly. Even though Adolf Hitler and a lot of high-ranking Germans weren't Christian, they still had a high morality, was a humanitarian, Hitler, animal lover for that matter. And so the Christians and non-Christians alike of the time, live and let live is what white people with their altruism and empathy would try to extend to other races. It's just our nature, Paul.
Well, yeah, but we can't do it. I mean, we've already learned some hard lessons with the Indians. And the problem is these people, of course, are not doing to us directly things which we can then directly react to. In other words, everything with them is behind the scenes. It's just a long-term incrementalism, a subtext, undercurrent, any other way, subterfuge, any way that you want to categorize it. The way that they're making war upon us is not normal or conventional. So, it's one thing when you see, a group of Indians just wipe out a family or wipe out a settlement and, you can see the remains of what they've done and you can get all pissed off and you can just grab a bunch of men and say, let's go after these bastards and let's get some retribution. That's not the world that we live in now. And fortunately, the Jew is the master of this sort of, unconventional warfare of deception, based upon, of course, their control of money and control of the propaganda and the information. So it's crazy times that we live in. And what they've done by this, of course, it's a double-edged sword where they've taken away our normal violent outrage response that would be perfectly in keeping with what it takes to survive in nature, and they make us feel, or they attempt to make us feel, as if we are somehow bad human beings. We're haters, okay? We're xenophobes, or we're racist for simply wanting to preserve who we are, look out for our own kind, our own tribe, and to keep all these undesirable non-white outsiders outside. I mean, that's where the word comes from right there. The reason they're outsiders is because they are indeed outsiders, and that's where they need to be, outside. So anyway, just a little bit of a ramble there. Got any good articles to talk about? Has Zero Hedge Watch gone to zero yet?
It's circling the drain for sure. But, you know, you ruined my whole plan for my opening sarcastic intro. I was going to start by, well, just, you know, expressing to you, you know, we have to double down Trump power, Paul. Okay, I mean, it's the only way to go. And now Trump is out there saying he's a target for the January 6th probe. He expects to be indicted and arrested.
Without
Donald Trump, there's no future for this country. You realize this?
As I would have said when I was basically not allowed to call into Kelso's show. I mean, I I'm allowed to call in. He just won't take the calls anymore. But I just would love to see Trump just executed right now. Get it over with. You know, just put him on display in the public square and give him the guillotine.
He had the election stolen. No matter what you think of the man being controlled op in some categories, he pushed it back a bit. In others, didn't do a lot of his campaign promises, including putting Hillary in prison. But nonetheless, I mean, that you know, really is we shouldn't be putting that message out there. I don't think he deserves that, frankly. I mean, there aren't very many who, well, Zelensky does. I can't help but say that one. But for, I mean, for the most part, you know, I mean, even brain dead Biden. I mean, come on, he doesn't deserve death just to be put in a little home to finish his days with no influence. But no, I mean, well, that's a little too much. I mean, I can't agree with that, wanting Trump dead.
We don't have
evidence that he's even, I mean, he could be truly against the establishment. Sure, he had Kushner and a lot of right-wing Israeli types in his corner. And so, you know, yeah, moving the capital to Jerusalem, a lot of little things he did not focus on for white people, but he said he was going to. A lot that irritated us, but you know, at the end of the day, they've hated him all along, it seems, and it's a pretty strong play with the January 6th thing and everything. This whole time, if Trump is just theater as far as a controlled enemy, I mean, I don't know, you know. But regardless, I don't think he's going to save us. But yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle where he doesn't deserve death, Paul.
Well, let me pull you over to the right here a little bit. So yeah, I mean, nothing personal. I'm sure he's a fantastic guy, and I wouldn't mind tossing back a couple of beers with him. Oh, you know, for sure. Of course, but since that's never going to happen, you know, I look at what he represents. Okay, and he represents a very deceptive, false hope. And so, what I really wanted to see is to have that hope killed in people's eyes, because, you know, I'm tired of it. I don't know why people, can't see through him or actually still believe in him. But I promise you I'll eat my own words if anything comes to into reality that is contrary. But there isn't any way he's going to do anything for us if he gets elected. It's going to be just like the other 4 years. And I have doubts that he's even going to be, you know, quote, elected. And it's like, okay, so there's people that are opposed to him, or that there's elements in the deep state that don't want him or are afraid of him. So what? What does that mean for us? Okay? I mean, to me, it's like, it's not so simple as the enemy of my enemy is my friend. I mean, that is just, that's way, way too simplistic for what we're looking at in today's world. And similar to the point I made about RFK Jr., okay, fine. Is he a good guy? Well, I guess so. Is he better than other politicians? I suppose, right? But he's never, ever going to get us where we absolutely need to go, okay? Forget about want to go. We need to go to survive, all right? This is going to continue and continue and continue. It's going to be millions upon millions upon millions of these non-whites are going to be thrown down our throats. I don't know how people cannot see that. And if you saw what has taken place in California in the last just short 15 to 20 years, going back 30, okay, even more of the bigger picture, but just 15 to 20 years, what has taken place? And you think it's going to end? You think a politician like Trump is going to stop that, or RFK Jr.? It's never going to happen. You know, I'm sorry, but no politician is going to save us, and that especially Trump, because he's not real, unfortunately. I wish he was, but he's a grifter, and all these rallies, he makes money, right? His organization makes money. He makes money. Everybody, people are buying, paying for these tickets, right? So, okay, so he's immensely popular, and a lot of his enemies are people that would be considered our enemies. Okay, fine. But in the end, what does that mean for the future of us going forward? Nothing.
All right. That's it. You're fired.
Okay. All right. I wasn't doing much good here anyway, was I?
And as far as RFK Jr. is concerned, there's still a lot of talk, especially after, you know, this latest focus everyone is having on the statement he made about a COVID targeted to affect Caucasians and Africans the most, and Ashkenazi and Chinese the least. But they're twisting his words a bit, trying to use that as much as they can against him. But Twitter files, this is ridiculous. If there's something called the Twitter files, for example, is ridiculous in itself. But, okay, the latest installment of the Twitter files is focusing on this now. Who are the people claiming RFK Jr. is spewing disinformation? And so they're trying to look into who these people are. Let's see. In one example, Twitter employees took action on several accounts after a shady dark money group called the Center for Countering Digital Hate, CCDH. Why haven't we heard about this one more yet? It's catchy. Center for Countering Digital Hate released a report alleging that just 12 accounts produced the majority of anti-vaccine disinformation on social media. There isn't any evidence to support this claim. Oh, okay. Now, I thought they were going to talk about the anti-Semitism. That would be more spicy, but...
Okay, so let's dispense with this real quick before you go on reading any more blather from whatever sources you're reading it from. Did you happen to catch my call on Sunday night to the same asylum about RFK Jr.?
Fill us in. My audience may have missed it in part as well.
So, you know, there's only one way to look at this, in my opinion, all right? So RFK Jr. can say whatever he wants to say, but it's far more important what he won't say or he won't ever say. And that's how I look at Trump as well, okay? So RFK says this, that, and the other about, you know, these bioweapons or these labs or ethnically targeted virus, whatever it is. First of all, I would make the point, how does he know? Okay, how does he know? Does he have any inside sources of information? Again, I can't make this more clear. I think it's all mythology, this whole idea of all these, quote, bioweapons labs in Ukraine. I'd have to see one with my own eyes, okay, to even believe in one, much less 20, 30, 40, or 50. I'm not saying that they're not there, okay? Maybe they are, but I don't believe it. You know, there's a difference between being open to the reality or the possibility and yet at the same time not believing in something because you've had your chain pulled so many times by these people. Constant distraction, right? Constant hoaxes. So why do they do all of this? And I think it's really to keep our eyes and our minds off the real issue. And there's only one issue, right? We have alien enemies ruling us, running our government. Our government is not our government. It's in the hands of an alien enemy who wants our demise. So is RFK Jr. going to talk about that? Is he going to talk about the fact that these Jewish banking families have been stealing our wealth for over 100 years, okay? Is he ever going to mention that? No. Is he going to ever mention the fact that these same Jewish banking, you know, family corporations are running medicine or running law are doing all the things that they're doing. Of course, the media as well. Is he ever going to really tell the truth about that? Trump can cry all he wants about fake news. Let's hear him really lay it out. He won't do it. So screw Trump. Screw RFK Jr. I would fire him. I would firing squad both of them in front of the American people and all the people that really love them. I would force their eyes open like Clockwork Orange. So make them watch. Because, you know, if we don't get, you know, who knows? You know, I know what we can do, okay? I know what can be done historically, what has already been done, and I know what's possible. Whether it occurs or not, that's a different story. But I believe if we continue on this track, all right, of false hope in so-called politicians who never talk about the real truth, that we are doomed eventually as a people. We will continue to diminish as a percentage of the population, and our biological viability will continue to be undermined by these people. And I didn't even mention, of course, the chemtrails, right? The vaccine genocide agenda, the DARPA hydrogel that they're finding in all these places now. It's like, let RFK Jr. and Trump talk about that, or DeSantis talk about that. No, but they're going to get on and do these stupid debates about, well, how many jobs they're going to create, or what the price of gas is going to be. I'm done. I've had it, Richard.
Well, let's shift.
Yeah,
I've been occupied more with other topics. You're getting me interested more in anything but that by the end of your rant there. So I have a couple other articles here, and we can pivot to Europe. Now, Biden is approving another $1.3 billion in arms into this. Now they're calling it a stalemated Ukraine war. A stalemate, it would imply that things are more equally balanced as far as the forces. That's clearly not the case, but nonetheless, they're framing it in such a way. We have a G20 meeting in India ending without much of anything accomplished. Division on Ukraine is abundant. Despite Jewish American U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen pleading with redoubled support that she pledges to the Ukraine conflict. It's so great that our Jewish overlords make these decisions for us. It makes things very simple. We can just, keep working at the grindstone, and all will be well.
So, I don't know. I mean, what I think of is, you know, our current situation in light of what supposedly Lincoln said. Now, I know, of course, I don't really have a positive view of Lincoln, especially after listening to many shows done by Mike Gatti and others as well have done this sort of research. But he said something more or less about, I see in the future a crisis which unnerves me. It causes me to tremble for the future of my country. Corporations have been enthroned. Right. And so it goes on a little bit after that, you know, and he talks about an era of corruption will follow, and they'll work on the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. Well, that happened a long time ago. But this idea that corporations have been enthroned, and that's who's really running the world, is essentially Jewish controlled corporations, not governments. Not presidents.
Can I hear that music? We will return. Stick around, folks.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
One day we will put it all behind. We'll say that was just another time. We'll say that was just another day.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host, Paul, in California. And one more article just came across my desk. I just feel obligated to report, Paul, on this. It's a big, you know, story, Ukraine situation. Russia pummels southern Ukraine in retribution strikes for Crimea bridge explosion. This just in. Moscow's vowed revenge for the Kerch Bridge terror attack, which happened Monday and killed two Russian civilians and temporarily shut down traffic. It now appears to be carrying out that retaliation campaign in what the defense ministry called a strike of retribution against facilities in southern Ukraine. So, Paul, yeah, you know, I like to have a mix in, I think, perspectives from people off the chain like yourself. On behalf of white people in particular, is very important to my show, and also reporting the news and having a bit of a mild-mannered hosting moderation to keep people engaged and tolerant of your hate speech. But nonetheless, it's a good combination. You know, I think it's a powerful formula that works.
Nothing could be more clear that tolerance has always been our enemy, and it's our enemy now. I mean, look, here's how it starts. And again, I don't know what's like where you are, okay? But the what we used to call the beaner population, the spick population, is off the charts everywhere you go. You can't escape it. Even small towns here and there, there's more and more coming, and they will never, ever stop. And here's how it starts, right? Oh, si, senor, I work very hard for you. Oh, yeah, so you need help. I'm here to help you. Next thing you know, 30 million. Okay, here. And then what? 40. And then 50 million. Oh, all of a sudden, oh, they're the largest demographic in Texas. Okay? Why? Because we're tolerant. Oh, you're such a lovely Chinese family. Oh, look, you run the restaurant. Oh, look, and there's a, and here's your cousin now. He's in town. Oh, and he's running the dry cleaner. Oh, and then look, his sister, she runs the massage parlor. Isn't that quaint? We have a diversity in our community. Next thing you know, 10 million Chinese, okay? Real estate corporations, right? Buying and selling shopping centers, okay? Taking over your country. I don't have any tolerance for tolerance. I'm sick of it. We can all see how it starts, right? That's why we need a strong man like Hitler. I wish he was still alive.
We had a couple of Mexican friends in my circles growing up in grade school and high school, you know, but we were also friends with the local gang. It was a pro-white gang. You know, I'd like to actually interview someone from it. I want to work on that, trying to get some contacts back as we speak. But no, I mean, you know, Beaner was something we'd say to their face. You know, they'd be able to, I mean, they were Mexicans, a lot of them were half right. white or acted white, you know, a couple of them, one case or the other. And no, they empathized very much. But the blacks in Chicago on the south side stayed in their neighborhoods. I didn't have to deal with them until I really started living, well, downtown and just started seeing more and more of how the culture is just has it in your face. You know, Jews push blacks in your face more than any other group that they push in your face,
right?
And everything. But the point
yeah. being, okay, the rhetoric and hyperbole aside, okay, it's factually accurate. Okay, obviously, I'm a human being. I've had friends of different ethnicities, but that's not the point. Okay, what is it that you're going to get? Okay, in the end, with this tolerance, with people that are generally going to outbreed you, right? And they're going to be supported by our Jewish-owned government, who doesn't have, you know, any constraints on their finances because of the fact that we've gone away from any concept of real money, right? We basically have banking debits and credits, and they can grant them or not at their whim. And so, you know, as Mike Gatti has made clear with his research, you know, and I'm sure he's not alone, but he's done an excellent job telling us that essentially the Constitution established more or less a permanent aristocracy with unlimited taxing power. And of course, this unlimited taxing power has now been taken over by our Jewish masters, and they are wielding it as a weapon of destruction. And so say what you want about the existing structure, which of course has to collapse and be taken over by us, but still we have what really very few of us want, and that's millions upon millions of aliens, non-white aliens here, and they're not going to stop coming until we are not nice about it anymore. I took a little trip out of town, and I'm in another place right now, and it's still a predominantly white area, right up in the hills and the mountains. And, you know, the area's growing. There's new people moving in. There's construction. There's all this stuff going on, right? But here's what I've started to see the last few years, and I'm familiar with this area, is more and more fat Mexicans with tattoos.
If you want to elaborate on that, no, I see we're about to hit the break.
It just never ends.
Well, so much politically correct content still to come with Paul in California, folks. Stick around for the second half.
I don't like them. I like tall, good-looking white people. I don't like fat Mexican tattoos.
Well, no, that's fair. Wrong with me. And no, there's nothing wrong with you. That's actually nature. And
thank you.
There you go. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Tuesday co-host Paul in California. And well, if I were to touch on a related note, I mean, you were mentioning both starting out beaners, as you put it, Mexicans, then mentioned Chinese and what have you. I mean, it depends on where you are. You've noticed where you are in the Bay Area, the Chinese factor in immigration far more. Someone like myself, that's what I was saying when I was starting this Mexican in Chicago, I noticed black. And, you know, there were only little neighborhoods of others I found later on the north side, you know. But only when I finally, by the time I moved, did I really notice just how many Arabs and Indians had been invading, but they had their neighborhoods up north, of course. You have the Australians complaining about Arabs quite a bit.
Right.
I noticed that.
It's just the latest. In other words, okay, they're the newest. In other words, you know, we've already seen all whatever I just described with the Asians, with Chinese, Vietnamese, Mexicans for decades. But now the newest, okay, plenty of them apparently too. There's some factory somewhere spitting these brown people out. You know, Indians and Arabs, okay? And you know, even though, like I said, I say things for effect, but I also really mean them, okay? I mean, I thought this out back in the 90s when I did the math, and I go, okay, wait a minute. China, 1.2, 1.3 billion. India, 1.1, 1.2 billion, whatever it is they say. And then I looked at the United States, and back then at the 90s, we were like, what, 280 or 290 million, whatever they said. And all you got to do is just put those numbers in comparison and say, whoa, okay? And then, of course, what I said was exactly true. It does start out, just like I said, oh, we'll help you with your farm, we'll help you with your orchard, we'll help you with your vineyard, oh, we'll work in your blue-collar you know, job. We'll work in the meat packing plant. We'll do all these different things. And then the next thing you know, you got a population that's like 30% Hispanic, and they're filling up the police blotter. You got a gang problem, and they're dropping out of high school at nearly 60%. They drop out of high school at a higher rate than blacks. Okay.
And in addition to the government and all these special interests printing money for continuing this immigration and all these programs and free money for them, handouts, we also, of course, have a lot of the money they're making. Well, they have benefits where they don't really need to work. And so their money gets sent home to family and in their country.
And that's the thing. I don't even care about that. Okay. You know,
that's
the economic, you know, scholastic argument that's been made, the academic argument that's been made for a very long time, going back to the 90s. Oh, they send all this money out. No. They don't need to be here. Okay. I'm old enough to remember when construction sites were mostly white guys with tool belts. Okay. And, you know, here and there are some black guys, and maybe every now and then Hispanic, okay? Where, you know, meatpacking and other industries like that were union jobs where a lot of white people worked, and so on and so on and so on. So we're being completely bamboozled, brainwashed, propagandized that these jobs are no longer suitable for us. This is the undercurrent, but they're okay for these non-white foreigners to do, and we'll give them the economic opportunity to better their lives if they're that they could have in their country. Oh, they can come here. They're helping us out, doing the jobs Americans won't do. And of course, that sentence was never finished. Doing the jobs Americans won't do, comma, at the prevailing wages. We all know who is having the negative effect on the purchasing power of the dollar and what American workers can make, and so on and so on and so on. And it's exactly like what I just mentioned earlier. Okay, there's two problems. All right, the first problem is the fact that we have allowed our government to be completely taken over with its unlimited ability to basically tax and its apparent unlimited ability to borrow, quote-unquote, banking credits from our Jewish masters. And also, we don't hate enough. Okay, we don't hate it enough. That's an issue. And that's why I say what I say and I feel what I feel. And there's no doubt about the fact that I'm right. I'm not Nostradamus. Okay, anybody can predict where this is going. And the question is, are we going to be pissed off enough at what's happening? And I think Alex Jones had it right when he started talking about way back when, about the stuff in the water and the food to basically neutralize us, you know, make us less masculine, you know, mess with our hormones, all kinds of other stuff, because I don't see how naturally this would ever have been allowed to occur back in the day when, I guess, white males had more normal testosterone levels and more normal in other words, in better functional health, you know, which is a separate topic. But anyway, sorry, once again, a rant. But you know, it's just me. I'm attempting to go on about this and sort of, in many ways, justify my position because it's like I know I'm right. And the bottom line is we're not given a choice, right? I mean, we're not going to where they are and forcing ourselves on them. We're just trying to hang on to what we have here and keep whatever lifestyle we can. And it's getting so bad we're now running to form smaller communities away from all. It's been well known since the 90s. People flee diversity if they can flee. If they have the economic means, they flee diversity and go to smaller communities to get away from it. So that's they got us, basically got us running and hiding.
Well, yeah, the best alternatives we have is to avoid technocracy and have a post-industrial future outside of the technocracy. Racial localism. You know, racial realism, racial localism, and a tribal sort of focus. I mean, we're going to have basically a regression to tribalism as the only way to survive.
Right. As long as it morphs into nationalism, okay, it can't remain, you know, local, right? Because if it just remains local in towns and small communities and pockets here and there, and doesn't go national, right, that's going to be problematic in the future because these people are going to have the numbers, and of course we know they have the money, they have the financing. Anyway, I guess, well, do we got a caller? You want to take it?
Yeah, but I'm
go ahead.
Okay, all right, we'll see if we get to more of this discussion or some more articles. But yeah, Charles in Florida, welcome, Charles.
Hey, how you doing, Richard, and your guest? I was reading in the truthseeker.co.uk one interesting article about Zionist national conservative, quote-unquote, governments are flooding Europe with millions of non-white migrants. These are the descendants of the neoconservative government. It's an interesting article about all these so-called, like the strong man in Hungary, you know, I forget his name, Tucker Carlson interviewed and some time ago. He's a typical neocon, what they call national conservatives now. At the same time, Israel has these Kahanites,
Charles, there needs to be less distance between your words.
North
Here, did you hear that, Charles? No, Paul is saying you should try to pick up the pace for the listeners. Less distance between your words, if possible. But no, well, Paul, quickly, do you want to comment on what Charles said so far before he continues?
No, I don't have much comment right now.
Okay, Charles, go ahead. You still with us, sir?
Hello?
Yeah, no. Yeah, you can still hear us?
Okay.
I don't know, maybe you're having trouble hearing our side of the conversation, Charles.
A geriatric ward here.
Yeah.
Charles needs three cups of coffee.
and we have quite a few other callers. Karen, okay. In Panama. Karen.
Oh, you made it to Panama.
Yes, I'm in Panama. I've been here a while.
Right.
Yeah, I feel your pain, Paul. I mean, I can remember calling in some time ago to a show with Don Black and Jay Hess, and I just feel like the American white people, and to some extent Europeans also, they're like the Eloi in the time machine.
Yes.
I don't know if it's conditioning. I know so many people that they're such surface thinkers. They don't really think. They don't read enough. They don't expose themselves to enough. They don't try to expand themselves at all intellectually. I've never seen people like this. I used to have some faith in the young people, but now my faith is like shaken. I mean, enough to leave the U.S. I mean, I think, you know, these European, you know, white countries, Australia, New Zealand, the U.S., Canada, all over Europe, they're just being slated by, Jews to be destroyed. And yeah. I don't know at this point. I mean, I feel your pain. I hear the pain in your voice. I lived out in California when it was, pretty white. And moved up to Oregon. It was even more white. And then the onslaught of the Hispanics came. And then I moved out to West Virginia. And I've even seen now the left wing, influences even in a state like West Virginia. And I just threw up my hands and said, you know, I quit. I mean, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, but I feel like mentally now, I mean, I keep up. I listen to your show. You know, when you're on Tuesdays, I'm always listening, and I might not call in because, I give people a chance to call in. But, I'm just frustrated, just frustrated enough to, leave. I don't know what it's going to take. My own family, I try to explain to them about Jewish people. And then look at me like I'm out of my mind.
and here's the thing, too. For me, it comes from a completely natural place. So, in other words, I left the Bay Area to, temporarily. I'm actually going to move anyway. But on my way up to Reno, Tahoe, okay? And there's, I'm not going to name the town, but it's a fairly sizable town outside of Sacramento up into the Sierra foothills that I've stopped over many times. I like many parts about it. And it literally is like a breath of fresh air.
The American River up there, I used to camp up in that area. If you go way up into Northern California, up into the ranch areas, yeah, that's still a pretty good area. But, yeah, you got to really be careful about where you move because they'll ship these low-life people from, they come in here at the Darien Gap, but I will say, I don't know who's paying for this. I don't know if it's the UN or the government of the Mayorkas. I don't know. But they're coming in not millions, but, you know, maybe a couple hundred thousand a year, and they just get them right out of Panama. I mean, they, bam, goodbye, they're gone. Now, I don't like that at all, that they, I mean, because they're destroying that rainforest, but it's, I just, you know, it is, I feel the, I hear the pain in your voice. I mean, I just
right.
don't know
so,
what happened to the European people.
Yeah, right. But
go ahead, Paul, but we have three other callers I'd like to get to.
Okay, so just quickly, but to delineate this pain, so in other words, it's what I feel when I see this. So in other words, what I saw, of course, is a complete transition to much more tall or taller, good-looking white people, which you just do not see in the Bay. Everybody in the Bay Area now, I swear to God, is like either Asian or short, brown, stumpy people. I mean, these Hispanic people, for the most part, they're short or shorter, okay, with stumpy limbs, okay, and they have low IQs, as we all know, right, 80 to 85 as a rule, and a lot of them, they tend towards this ridiculous kind of a life where, you know, they're going to basically get tattoos and they're going to get fat, and this is what I saw, again, when I came up here to another town, and I saw this, boom, it just was, like, I see it and it's disappointing compared to what makes me feel good, okay, what makes me feel good naturally is to see not only what once was, but to see what normalcy looks like with, like, white couples with white children that are mostly attractive. And you know it's a high-trust, you know, town, a high-trust society, because all the people are intelligent and decent and so on and so on. And they're ruining that, okay? Nobody wants to...
I know, and the people that are allowing the white people are like, oh, I'm okay with this. I mean... What is the problem with them? They're like the Eloi. Like I said, as long as
they've been conditioned
and they got a food and they got their sports, they're happy.
It's a good,
yeah. Well,
it's
they've been conditioned. They've been conditioned for a whole generation to think that skin color is the only difference. You know, that it's not anything but hate. To think of people living separately, they have the colonialism, slavery, the fake Holocaust, all these things that their whole lives they've been conditioned.
Yeah, it's called propaganda. It's called.
But Karen, I would appreciate you calling more often when you can, though, Karen. Maybe another Tuesday soon, because you with Paul is pretty interesting.
Thanks, Richard. I listen all the time, but I just wanted to let Paul know because. I know a couple of weeks there haven't been that many callers, but I listen all the time. So you guys take care.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Doug in California. Doug.
Hi, boys. I want to tell Paul, I had sent a book to Scorpio that I would try to get Robert Redbolt to address. It's called The Great Red Dragon. And, Paul, I know they're not going to let you back on with the F-250 report, even though they throw you down and then invite you back, and I think Odyssey would be a great format for you because it's mostly pro-white agenda and channels. And if you go to Flood at Odyssey, go to his playlist, there is The Great Red Dragon for everyone on an Audible book form. And I wish you had your own show, Paul. It's long coming.
I'll check it out. What did you say about the let me on or hand me back? I'm sorry, I didn't catch exactly what you meant by that, how you said that.
Well, I know at one time you were with Mike and Clint and Dave.
Yeah.
And then you weren't there.
Yeah.
And then they kind of start throwing you down when you're not there. And then recently Clint is saying, well, we have a place for Paul to come back. He'd like to come back and have a channel because I think their listening audience is dropping considerably. Clint tends to steal the soapbox from everybody whenever he feels like it.
That's correct.
I've listened to you on that show when you were there.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'll leave this alone very quick. I'm not going to get into too much personal stuff, but there is personal stuff involved, and the stuff that I did not appreciate about what was said about my good friend and colleague, Jim Fetzer, and the way it was done. And then, of course, what sort of transferred over to me, many things that were not said, but there has really not been contact. I've not reached out to them. I've not sent any emails or texts or any entreaties. I did receive a call and a couple of texts considering to have me back, that I could do a show or a podcast, which is fine. I never asked for it. To be honest, I don't give a damn whether it happens or not. Okay, but I got to tell you, something very unsavory took place on a recent phone call that showed me the sort of character that one of these people that you just mentioned, I'm not going to say which one, but one of the people you just mentioned is some, in my opinion, some character issues. And I'll leave it at that. So there's really pretty much no chance I'm going to have a show on there, and I don't really care about it. And more than likely, I will not be invited to do any commenting. And it's nothing that I did or said, okay, to, quote, deserve it. It's just, it's like a social club is really all it is. And for whatever reason, I'm not part of the clubhouse anymore, and it doesn't really matter in the end anyway, because it wasn't. So anyway, it's interesting that you said that. Thanks for recognizing me. I appreciate it. You've called in before, and you mentioned this book, and I will indeed check that out. I'm going to put it on my list.
And as far as the Mexicans in California, I born and raised here. I kind of began working with them and have befriended many in my 72 years. And by basically every time I've helped or encouraged them and assisted them with their needs, I've always been stolen from. I've always been screwed over. So every store you go into, every gas station, every restaurant, even the banks, it's all Mexican.
Their public service is horrible. It's right. It's on a par with blacks. And here's the thing. I was in the landscaping business. I'm not going to claim that I was a little bit hypocritical, because I used a lot of that labor. And a lot of them are good people, hard workers and all that. But that's a separate issue from, do we want 30 million? Do we want 40 million? Do we want 25 million of them? The answer obviously is no. Okay? So it's a separate thing. Everybody has it within them to be civil and polite and treat others with respect, and as do I. Okay? But we have to start thinking in terms of, this is what they've taken from us with their propaganda. They've taken away the racial concept, the group concept. Collectivism has been demonized in many ways, but it's for the wrong reasons. Okay, we need white collectivism. We need white biocentrists. We need white ethnocentrists.
And I think with the gray red dragon.
That's a good topic. Well, here, I'm sorry, Doug, I appreciate your call, but we're going to have to talk about that more after Paul gets a look at it another day. Dan in Washington has been on hold, and we have Terry after that. Dan in Washington.
Real quick, great call. I remember that caller from Panama calling, and I always kind of wondered what happened to her. And, Paul, that feeling of fresh air is what I felt, you know, when I moved to Texas for a while. And then I ended up moving back to Washington, Eastern Washington, and I had that same feeling for a while, you know, until Yakima and Tri-Cities got totally bombarded with Mexicans. But this, I'm recommending, don't watch Sound of Freedom. I don't deny that. I remember hearing Don Adbo talk about this, the language they were using in Comet Pizza. There may be pedophile rings, but I'll look at it this way. If the moral of the story is Sound of Freedom is to stop immigration, then go ahead and watch it. But from what I've seen, this guy, Tim Ballard, he adopted two black kids from Haiti.
Yeah.
I heard him on the Alex Jones saying that the answer to this is we all need to rescue these kids in South America. You know, and it's just like the whole moral of the story is just to get white Christians to adopt South American brown kids. You know,
I'm glad you said this. So it wouldn't be totally on my shoulders. It was a powerful movie. It did touch me. But in the end, racially, I don't give a damn about the child trafficking of brown and black kids. To be honest, I'm sorry, I don't give a crap. You know, and Jim Caviezel. Jim Caviezel has been making remarks. He's made multiple remarks. I've seen him on YouTube videos talking about, like, he mentioned Schindler's List. He mentioned Joseph Goebbels. He mentioned the Nazis. So, therefore, he's drawing these comparisons. So, F you, Jim Caviezel, okay?
Well, Dan, here, call back tomorrow. Yeah. We could flesh this out a bit more if you could call tomorrow. Try if you're in range.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you. Terry in Texas. Terry.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. I got in kind of late to the show, but I would say I hear a lot of frustration out there, and there is legal remedy to remove yourself from this mighty bureaucracy that's known as the United States. It's a jurisdiction. It's the 14th Amendment citizen, and I don't have time to go into detail too much about it, but can remove yourself as a statutory citizen under the jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., which is the international bankers, and put yourself back in a status of national, or I should say state citizen, renewing your constitutional rights.
Okay, so I'm going to address this briefly.
When you're a U.S. citizen, you're a statutory citizen.
Yeah,
and
no, we got
when you're a national, you're a non-statutory. That's played out in Congress, Supreme Court, and so on.
I'm going to address this real quick in the remaining minute or so, Richard, and for all you callers. Okay, I'm one of these people. I know about this. I'm very familiar with it. I'm down with it. Okay, I get it. And these topics have been covered by many other people on RBN and other places. It's all fine and dandy, but it's not going to help us with the racial catastrophe that faces us. Okay, you taking care of yourself, being an American national or a state citizen, and you know, paying no taxes and doing all that crap. Great. Good for you. Okay. How's that going to help with what we're facing? Okay. How's that going to overthrow Jewish power? I'm more interested in smashing Jewish power and removing these people from this country first and then from other places after that, putting them in a volcano or the Mariana Trench in the Pacific, somewhere like that. We do that, then you can talk all you want about state citizen and jurisdiction and statutory this, that, and the other. I'm familiar with it. Many other people are as well. It's great. I'm not criticizing you for bringing it up on the call, but again, my attitude towards that is how can that help us win? At this point in my life, all I care about is winning and being around other white people that can think in those terms. If you're not interested in thinking in the terms of how can we win, then hey, good luck. Have a nice life.
Okay, well, Terry, we're just about out of time. Thank you for the call. And Paul, it was a pleasure as always, sir. Have a good week. Any final thought?
No, thanks for indulging me, Richard. Sorry if I was maybe a little unhinged in my ranting, but sometimes I think I do my best work when I'm unhinged. If you can consider it work.
I suspect many of the Tuesday listeners do agree.
All right. Thanks for having me, Richard.
Indeed. And folks, please support RBN if you want to keep this possible, this true free speech radio. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. Plenty of ways to send your contribution. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.